You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. I'm just waving my little tea bag at you.
Is that a Cornish tea bag?
No, this is not Cornish. I had Cornish this morning.
Did you?
This is the gingery one from Sri Lanka that I bought you for your birthday.
I haven't tried them yet.
Oh, what's the matter with you?
Well, you bought me licorice sticks and I've still got bits of licorice branch stuck in my teeth. That's why.
Ah, well, anyway, I'm just dunking it in because having done the Scoff and Quaff show and with cocktails, rather
She's nicked a couple of margaritas already, I have to tell you.
Just on a boiled egg breakfast, so no toast.
And a slice of turkey.
Yeah, slice of turkey, yeah. But when you went off for your comfort break, as you call it, I did snaffle another little boiled egg and another slice of turkey.
You've had two boiled eggs and half a turkey.
Yeah, I'll be.
And it's not even lunchtime yet.
I know. Yeah. But I find, you know, after two shows, then I've got the long journey home and I don't want to. If I don't have that sort of thing, then I would like to snaffle chocolate on the way home.
Oh, right.
That ebb, don't you? Low ebb.
Yeah.
It's good to keep the old.
I'm fascinated by your tea drinking. Earlier this morning, you were giving me a lecture about how all your tea drinking is now Cornish tea, and I was trying to work out where in Cornwall they actually grow tea.
Yeah, but that was a silly conversation because, as I pointed out, we've got here in the kitchen, we've got Yorkshire tea.
Yeah.
And we've got Dorset tea.
They grow. Have you not seen the Yorkshire tea fields out on the Pennines?
Well, I'll tell you something. You remember one of my holidays in Valencia?
Yeah. I can't keep up with them all because you have quite a few hundred. Yeah.
Well, you know, my age, I need a holiday. Yeah. So Valencia, where I was, we stayed for a city break rather than lolling about on the beach as we usually do. And we, just about 3/4 of an hour outside Valencia, would you believe it, there's rice paddy fields.
Really?
Absolutely.
You didn't take a wrong turn at Taiwan, did you?
It was unbelievable. And you literally, you know, Valencia is a beautiful city. 3/4 of an hour, you've got this stretch of paddy fields and waterways. You can get a little boat. We had a little boat out, and all these restaurants, all Spanish people, which is why I love it. So it's obviously where the Valencianas go for a little break. And, of course, it's their paella rice that they're making. And, you know, that's what I love about Spain and Greece and Turkey. They haven't bought in yet. I'm sure they will, but, you know, there's the odd McDonald's and that, but they're still keeping everything local. I'm looking at, I guess, Roland Stanley.
Right.
Because he's nodding wisely.
What's he is he growing rice then? over in Chatham?
No, but he's a restaurateur, isn't he, and all that. So he'll know about local and food. But that's what I love about Spain, you know. Even in Valencia, I'll tell you something funny. We had, what was it? We had horchata. Do you know horchata?
Not personally, no, I've never met him.
Horchata, do you know horchata?
No.
Okay, you need to get out more and go to Valencia. So horchata is it must have come over from one of their invasions.
Right, well, what is it?
I'll tell you.
Well, get on with it.
Honestly, it's tiger nut milk. And it's
Hold on. Tiger nut milk.
Yeah. Well, come on, we've got almond milk.
Tiger nut milk.
We've got soy milk.
Right. Tiger nut
milk. We've got coconut
milk. Yeah, but it sounds horrible, doesn't it?
No. Horchata is lovely.
Yeah, you're getting milk out of tiger nuts.
Yeah. Do you know what a tiger nut is?
I'm not going there.
Do you know what a tiger nut is?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, you two need to get out more. So
I know what a tiger is.
Yeah, a tiger nut is probably a stripy sort of nut. I'll bring some in next week. I've got some in my cupboard.
Well, what's it like? I've never heard of a tiger nut.
I make, because you know I'm a bit weird in my regime.
I know you're weird, yeah.
Yeah, because of my thyroid, I avoid pulses, lentils and things because of my thyroid. Can't deal with them. So tiger nuts, his face is flabbergasted. Listen, if you could see his face.
The trouble is I think she's pulling my leg.
Tiger nuts are a nut.
No, and they're from tigers.
Yeah, tigers sit and make them.
Yeah.
I think they might have a little stripe on them. That's probably And they're actually quite well known in countries like Brazil, I think. I'm sort of guessing here. But I have a little packet of them in my cupboard. And I make, because I don't have chickpeas, I make an overnight.
Why don't you have chickpeas?
Because they're inflammatory for thyroid-y people. Because thyroid all starts in
the gut.
They blow up. Yeah. thyroid starts in the gut. You know, when I was in A&E 3 weeks ago, I told you about the tuna fish sandwich.
Roland, I'm sorry about this. We have to do Jules's medical history every week. It's just really annoying.
But you know, he's fascinated really by it. And both of you got your wrist.
Anyway, let's get back to the start of this story, which was tiger. You were trying to explain to us what tiger nut milk is.
So you don't want to know about my tuna fish
sandwich? No, I don't. No, I don't want to know any about that. I want to go back to where we started.
Only I had four in A&E.
Which is, you got this stuff in Valencia, which is actually tiger nut milk.
Horchata.
Horchata.
It's really interesting because it's a big thing out there. So you'll go to a supermarket and it will be, you'll have horchata ice cream.
Right. Tiger nut milk ice cream.
Which is, you know, very hip now, isn't it? When you think about everybody being vegan.
Vegan this and vegan that.
You know, plant-based milks and that. You can tell I don't really like it. But a tiger nut, I approve of.
Oh, okay. Why were you telling us about this tiger nut stuff?
Well, I've lost the track now.
Yeah, me too.
But what I was saying about Valencia is, so I had horchata in Valencia. So you can have it cold with like cacao in it and that. So it's like a hot chocolate, basically, or cold chocolate. Or you can have it hot, like a hot chocolate. And you can have
it cold?
Yeah, you can have it cold or hot.
Can you have it hot?
And you can have it lukewarm if you leave it on the windowsill for a while. But also, you know, the thing that they have in other regions, they have that thick hot chocolate that you dip your churros in.
You must have that.
You know, so
or in France, you dip your croissant.
You dip your croissant.
Yeah, that's him.
So I went wild about this because it's dairy free and I don't have dairy too much. And then I went to just about an hour down the road. And I said, have you got any horchata? And they go, oh, no, you can only get it in Valencia, you know. And the whole thing about...
Are they Russians then?
No, they're busy at the moment, the Russians.
I was going to say.
Yeah. So also, the paella is famous in Valencia, of course, but they have so many different types. So you can have the paella mixed, you know, which is with the seafood and your rabbit and your everything. Your meat, chicken, rabbit and seafood, or you can just have there's one called the Signorita or something, and it's
got young women in it.
No, the reason is it's got the shellfish in it, but you don't have to peel it all because of your lady's nails.
Because
often when I go out with my new husband, I make him peel, you know, get the big gambas.
Right, yeah.
And I make him do it because my nails have just been done. You don't want all the bits of
prawn. Does he feed you? Does he drop your little prawns in your mouth?
Lying on a chaise longue and
a bit like a seal being fed at the zoo.
But going back to what I was actually talking about is I love that thing that they are still passionately strong about local.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, as I drove by McDonald's this morning, I saw all these people queuing up. They're not even going to get out of their car. They're
I bet you can't get a tiger nut milk in McDonald's, can you?
You can't. No. You can't. And I was having a bit of a battle.
Come on, McDonald's, up your game.
I was having a bit of a battle with someone that was saying we've got to stop eating meat. I think I was on UK Food Show, my other Twitter handle, and I said to him, we don't need to stop eating meat, because he was saying about how badly cows are treated and blah de blah. I said, we don't need to stop eating meat. We need to source high welfare food. So we know where that cow's been fed, it's pasture fed, chicken has been allowed to run around, and stop being gannets. Yeah. Like, stop having 50, you know, look at the turnover of Kentucky buying a whole bucket of chicken and,
The thing that people don't really think too much about with plant-based food is that plants need a huge amount of CO2.
Exactly.
And I thought the idea was to get rid of CO2, so I'm not really sure how we're going to grow a huge amount of plants if we're getting rid of CO2, but
exactly.
There you go.
And all of that is packaged as well, all this plant-based.
It's all processed. It's none of it's natural. Yeah, it's all chemically induced, modified stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about all of that.
Well, I thought it was very interesting.
Really good. Yeah.
I
lost the plot over paddy fields. Had any of that got to do with rice paddy fields?
Well, no, because they are growing their own.
Oh, I see, they're growing it locally.
Rice. So they don't get their rice.
They grow their own prawns.
You know, like when you have an Indian, they grow their own prawns as well.
Yeah, yeah.
When you have an Indian, you
grow their own rabbits. They've got fields of rabbits.
You generally have basmati rice with your Indian, which comes presumably from India,
from
Sri Lanka, wherever.
Yeah.
So I always assume, being naive, that the rice was from India or China or somewhere. but it's actually grown in Spain.
Locally.
So I'm telling everyone, go to Valencia, shop local there, and then go out to these little paddy fields because they're amazing. Anyone wants to know, I'll send them the link.
Oh, cool.
But not one English tourist there. Right. And Valencia, you know, is very easy to get to. We went by Stansted to Valencia. It was good. Right. And quite cheap. You can get a flight for about 60 quid.
Right, okay. Yeah. Cool. Good. Well, thank you for that. That was a travel update. And,
we haven't seen Roland, our guest.
We haven't seen Roland for over five years. He reminded me it was 5 years since he was last on.
He still looks very young, though, doesn't he?
He does, doesn't he? He doesn't age. No. He doesn't age. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
My wife says that. It's all her fault. She keeps me young. That's what she says.
Is that right?
Yes. I mean, you do look like a little teenager still. not a line on him.
Yeah. No, we were just talking... before we came on air, Roland came on just at the point that he launched Dragon Co-working. And it was really very early days, and of course things have gone on since then. And today's show is all about hot desking and community and workspace and office space. And we've got some interviews coming up with the Business Terrace in Maidstone, which is also a co-working space. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking to Roland about his journey from when he was on last time to where he is now, and the fantastic stuff he's done with Dragon Co-working. It's been an amazing journey that he's been on, and the community there is absolutely fabulous. And anyway, he's going to tell us all about that in the second half of the show. But we'd like to hear from you, all the businesses out there. We've had quite a few tweets again. We're back in track now that the summer's definitely over. People are back indoors tweeting away. I've had a tweet from Martin Reeves, Buddy Collectors on Twitter. He said, dear Paul and Jules, I'd love a shout out, please. You've got a great lineup of guests, and I'm really looking forward to listening. So a big shout out for Martin. Do follow him on Twitter. Buddy Collector is his Twitter handle. And basically, Martin has really interesting activities. He buys stuff from eBay and stuff, collectibles, like Lego kits and all that kind of stuff, and then he sells them again for a profit, which he donates totally to charity. So give him a follow. That's Martin Reeves.
And Justin Dean is listening in, the lovely Justin Dean, and he says, got to agree with Jules Serkin on this one, Paul Andrews.
No, Justin, no, don't go there, mate.
I regularly have tiger nuts in my smoothies.
To see.
And that's in England.
What do tiger nuts actually look like? What's a nut actually look like?
Oh, they're little. I've got some in my cupboard. I'll bring them in. They're like little round things. Like just a little round. They look like a chickpea, really.
Right, okay.
Sort of shape.
Okay.
And as I said, I make
Do you get one per nut, or is it like a, you know, is it a bag full of nuts, if you see what I mean?
I've got a bag, bag full of nuts. You can just eat them like that, crunchy. Yeah, it's a bag full of little nuts.
Yeah, you know, like if you got a walnut, it comes in a hard case, right? And you split the walnut open and there's walnut nut inside. How does a tiger nut come?
I get them in a little packet, as you would.
Pre-shelled?
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's not good, is it?
Otherwise, I have to get the husband to do it, because nails. But I make a hummus with them. So tiger nut hummus, for those who can't tolerate lentils and stuff, if they've got, it's a gut thing. You know that your gut is your second brain, yeah? Did you know that? So any
I'm saying nothing there. I don't know.
Any immune system problem.
That would assume you've got a first brain, wouldn't it? Really?
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Catty remarks. You're sniffing and snorting, of course.
Yeah.
So that means you need to start with your gut health first to get rid of any immune thing. And Roland is nodding in agreement and wisely, because I know
right.
His wife looks after him, you see.
Exactly, and which is why he looks so young and healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I look the same things, you see.
Yeah.
She tells me all the same things.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is she into nutrition?
A little bit, yes.
I'm fascinated by it, because I know so many people that have done all sorts of things. I've just asked Justin Dean the ingredients in the Rude Health tiger nuts, because that's very interesting.
Right. I had a tweet from Chips and Dinks. And they say, hello, Business Bunker. Hello to Roland of Dragon Co-working. Wishing you and your guests a great show. Any clues on the choice of cheesy music today? Could we suggest Puff the Magic Dragon? And they've got a really neat gif of a dragon as well. No, it's not going to be that. It's going to be a bit more generic than that. I'm going to play it in a minute. You'll never get it. But I'm going to play it in a minute.
Oh, well, I would have liked Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah, I didn't think of it. I was thinking something different. Athelbrey have been on as well.
Yeah.
And they say, we'd like some help, please. I've several family heirlooms I'm looking to sell, including certificates of authenticity, but don't know where to start getting them accurately and honestly valued. They include Chinese hand-painted china.
Ooh.
And paintings and silverware.
Has she got a Ming?
I don't know.
Chinese Ming, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, no, 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 no.
No need to be like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can
anyone suggest someone trustworthy? So if you know someone that could help Kate and Keith of Athelbrey to value these things effectively, then do let them know. You can follow Athelbrey on the Twitter. Athelbrey LTD is their Twitter handle, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E. Give them a follow on Twitter and see if you can help them get
I've actually already DM'd them the number of Keith, my lovely antiques man.
Have you? Well
yeah,
done.
Yeah, I have. He's super and he's in Whitstable. So,
What's on in Kent? Say, could we have a shout out, please? Busy, busy, busy at What's on in Kent office this week. We still have our competition running on our Instagram page, which is really simple to enter. Any support from you guys would be appreciated. So follow them on What's on Kent on Instagram. They got a competition running.
And Sarah Marsh Collins is listening from her country abode.
She's in Devon.
Yeah, possibly with a little dog curled up at her feet as she's listening. She says, ooh, Jules Sirk and Vanilla Webb, have you heard of Paella Fella? Paella Faya, you'd have to say.
Of what?
Well, Paella Fella, I get that. But if you're saying it in Spanish, it'd be Paella Faya.
Oh, right, okay. Faya. Doesn't work really, does it?
It doesn't, no, but Paella Fella.
Right.
Catering for parties and a whole range of different paellas. First-rate stuff run by local businessman Nick Blythe, now based West Sussex. Well, he does party food. Well, actually, we know him well, don't we? And I'm a bit disgruntled with him because a long time ago, when I was arranging your 60th, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, because you're very old now.
I am.
We tried to contact him, didn't we? And he never got back to us.
Harry did it, yeah.
But we were trying to get paella fella once, and he ignored us.
Harry Covert did my paella.
He did a lovely one in your garden because we all hid down your side pack.
You're up my back passage, weren't you?
Yeah, we hid there.
Yeah,
and you thought you were going to the supermarket, didn't you?
I did go to the supermarket.
You were in shorts and a flip flop.
I did go to the supermarket, and my kids took me to the supermarket because they desperately needed to buy some things, and I ended up buying a supermarket trolley full of rubbish that I didn't need just so they could get me out of the house.
I do love a surprise party.
Mm.
So yeah, paella fella, Nick Blythe. We know him well, and they're very tasty.
Right. We're going to do cheesy tunage now.
Yeah.
And it ain't Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh.
For the second week running. Hey, do you know this is show number 600, by the way?
Oh, it's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wayne Cunnington was telling me it was a big one, and I didn't know, of course.
Yeah, it's show number 600. And for the second week running, I've got cheesy tunage for all the guests.
Okay.
Yeah. And, of course, we're doing a special on offices and hot desks and stuff.
Mm.
So I've got...
Another one, a tweet from Tenterden Chamber. Hi Vanilla Webb, hi Jules Sirkin. Please can you give a shout out for a busy chamber team preparing for the Christmas leaflets for members. And then he's put loads of people to tweet. So Potters HD, Rolverden _ star, Old Dairy Brewery, Zoe Cairns, Herondon Vets,
yeah,
ABS Blinds, DG East One, Montalbano, that's a restaurant, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
TN30, what is that, Italian?
Yeah, yeah.
White Lion, TN30, and Vine Tenderden. So
fantastic.
Big shout out there for
right,
you.
Right, let's have another go at this.
Yeah, is your knob sticky?
I don't know what happened there.
You don't want a sticky knob, that's one thing.
That's better.
Oh, that sounds like Nielsen. It's his piano.
Yeah, yeah.
He died in a dentist chair.
I know.
It's very sad.
It's a track called Good Old Desk.
Yeah. I only guessed it because you told me.
I know. Do you get it, though? Good Old Desk.
It's clever, that, isn't it?
It is,
You've been thinking about it.
I have. I don't know why I didn't play it the first time.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Does an arabesque in the morning when I first arrive. It's a pleasure to see, it's waiting there for me to keep my hopes alive. such a comfort to know it's got no place to go. It's always there. It's the one thing I've got, a huge success, my good old dad. My old desk never needs a rest, and I've never once heard it cry. I've never seen it tease, it's always there to please me from 9 to 5. Such a comfort to know it's dependable and slow, but it's always there. It's the one friend I've got, a giant of all times, my good old. My old desk isn't picturesque, but it's happy as a desk could be. We never say a word, but it's perfectly alright with me. For when my heart's on the floor, I just open the drawer of my favorite guest. And what do I see but a picture of me working at my good old desk? Ooh ah, ooh ah.
We got there eventually. That was Nielsen, a good old disc.
A catchy tune.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been talking to lovely folks at the Maidstone Business Terrace, part of Maidstone Borough Council. The Maidstone Terrace is shared office space and hot desking space. And we're going to do a series of interviews over the coming weeks with tenants there. But we started off hearing from William Cornell, who's the Director of Regeneration at Maidstone Borough Council. So let's hear what William had to say. This is Paul Andrews reporting from the Business Terrace in Maidstone. I'm going to be doing a series of interviews with the tenants from the Business Terrace over the next few shows. But I want to start off by introducing you to William Cornell, who's the Director of Regeneration and Place here with Maidstone Borough Council. Good afternoon, William.
Good afternoon, Paul.
It's lovely to see you. Thank you so much for sparing the time to join us. Can you tell us a little bit about your role in the council and what you do?
Yes, of course. So I have a very broad role at the council. I cover a number of areas that all have an economic development focus to them. So I cover the planning service, the housing services, and all the environmental services as well as economic development.
You do everything, don't you, really?
Yes, it's always interesting and varied at the council. At the core of it all is economic development, growing the borough, good growth for the borough.
That's fantastic. I mean, it's a very wide remit you've got. But then that kind of makes sense because everything these days is kind of interlinked, isn't it?
Yes, very, very much so. The big sort of overarching project that the council always has on the go is refreshing its local plan, which sets out where all the growth in the borough will happen over the longer term. And I suppose this sort of comes from government, and it's very focused on housing growth, which is always contentious. And in Maidstone, you may know there is a lot of housing growth. That number is sort of rising to around 1,200 homes per annum from this autumn, and we have to make space for all those homes through the local plan. But in order for those homes to be sustainable, we have to create the jobs as well. Not the council directly creating the jobs, of course, but creating an environment where the jobs can take shape and so on. So that may be allocating employment sites, so on and so forth.
Absolutely, yeah. Funny enough, on the way into Maidstone, I live in Tenterden, and my main business is based in Maidstone now. But on the way into Maidstone today, I was just thinking, because I'm old and I've been around a long time, as I was driving up the road from Tenterden, the amount of new housing estates and things that have been there over the last 20 or 25 years is just amazing. I was just remembering what used to be there before the housing estates, and funny enough, where I live now, I live in the country, but they're just plonking 30 houses next to me and 30 houses that's behind me as well. So there's loads of building going on in the whole Mid-Kent area, and that's a good thing. We need housing. There's no doubt about that. But let's focus a little bit on the economic development side of things. Tell us a little bit about the business terrace and the thinking behind it.
Yeah, so the business terrace here at Maidstone House, really, it was the sort of cornerstone of the economic development strategy that we had back in 2016. The research that we did at the time suggested that Maidstone had a relatively low startup rate of new businesses, and a number of ideas were explored as to how we could sort of play our part in reversing that situation. And obviously we had a lot of space here at Maidstone House, and in all honesty, as the council was sort of coming out of the austerity period, this is way before my time, it had excess space in Maidstone House, and we looked at how we could put that to good use. And the idea of creating a bespoke hub for startups really sort of came from that, and we utilized the whole of the first floor here and created a much more of a sort of attractive and vibrant environment that we thought would appeal to sort of startup companies. And since then it really has gone from strength to strength.
No, absolutely. And of course the whole thing behind premises has always been a bit contentious for those of us in business. It's not always been easy, and quite frankly, this isn't a dig at Maidstone. I've been in business in Maidstone over 30 years, but it was never that easy to find office space. There wasn't a huge amount of office space available in small units, which is where there was a great need, which you guys have identified and kind of filled. And of course that's kind of borne fruit because of what's happened in the last couple of years. But how have you seen that need grow?
It is ever growing, and I think the office environment, it has changed massively over the recent times. In the longer term, it's been very much that businesses that owned offices, they would look for sort of corporate tenants that would sign a lease, fully repairing and insuring for 20, 30 years. And quite frankly, I think those days have completely gone now. And so the office environment has to be, in terms of the offer from a landlord, has to be much more akin to the residential offer. What people want, or businesses want, is a turnkey product that looks fantastic, easy in, easy out, short term, flexible. So I think it's gone in that direction, and I'm very proud that Maidstone sort of been at the fore of that, and we can see other councils doing similar things in their areas, I'm sure, but also the private sector coming in and doing more of this stuff as well.
No, you're absolutely 100% right. I have a lease on the old post office in Maidstone High Street, and I had a 20-year lease on that. I've only got 3 years left, thank you. And there's no way I'd sign another lease like that. It's just is not going to happen. You're absolutely right. Flexibility is the key. So many businesses, especially during the lockdown and the pandemic, and this move to remote working, have suddenly realised that their office space needs change quite frequently.
Yes, that they want that flexibility, and I think businesses are happy and willing to pay a higher square foot rate, but they want a smaller footprint, and they want the opportunity to use flexible spaces. So whether that's a boardroom for hire, a conference room, meeting rooms, and so on. So they want a menu that they can pick from that works for their business as it goes through the sort of growth cycle.
Absolutely. And of course, in a place like this, you've got a community as well. You've got a number of businesses here that will talk to each other and hopefully do business with each other as well. So you've got that whole community spirit laid on top of all the other facilities that you're offering. And of course, without being funny, we had this huge move to remote working and people working from home, and now with the cost of living crisis and the energy prices, they're all going, I'm not spending my time at home paying my electric bill, I'm going back to an office.
Yeah, absolutely. We are definitely starting to see the return to the office environment. It's happening at the council itself and at the business terrace. Yeah, the demand is certainly upticking. And in terms of what we have at the business terrace here in the centre of town, we've also replicated that and gone beyond it in a way where we've built and opened the Maidstone Innovation Centre, which is located on the Kent Medical Campus.
Yeah, that's on Junction 7.
Junction 7. Yeah. And there we have a bigger facility, 37,000 square feet of serviced offices, again, for start-up businesses with wraparound business support. But that facility is tailored towards businesses in the sort of life sciences and medtech sectors.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Maidstone has changed from a business perspective over the years since I've been here. You've got, you know, also Turkey Mill on the outskirts of town, which has loads of office space, so it's a private organisation. So the office space availability in Maidstone has improved enormously since my days of having to desperately sign a 20-year lease to make sure I got a building. How do you see the economic situation in Maidstone at the moment in terms of the businesses based here? Is it something that's growing? Is it static?
Yes, so in terms of the local economy, it is varied, but in our economic development strategy, we have noticed that there's room to create higher paid, higher skilled jobs, and I guess that's the holy grail, isn't it? That's what all economies are looking for. And so we've addressed that through the local plans that I spoke about earlier, and we're sort of carving out different sizable new sites for new businesses at different locations in the borough. So to give you an example, we have the Kent Medical Campus, which is around 30 acres at Junction 7. Across the road from there, we have Eclipse Park, which is a more of a mixed offer in terms of retail, hotel, right, and so on. Down the road at Junction 8, we have light industrial and distribution. So it's really creating the right kind of environments for the economy to evolve and grow and sort of go up to the sort of next level in terms of the quality of the jobs. And that's what we're trying to achieve.
No, absolutely, and you're right. The warehouse situation that they're building in Hollingbourne is massively needed. There's a massive shortage of warehouse space in central Kent.
Absolutely. So that is a sizable project there. The owner of the site, Clearbell, is developing units there at risk because they really believe in the demand, and I think those tenants are coming forward, and that new project is taking shape really, really rapidly. So in terms of the location, it really couldn't be closer to Junction 8 of the M20, so I've no doubt that's going to be an amazing success.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. William, thank you so much for talking to us on the show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. That's William Cornell, who's Director of Regeneration and Place at Maidstone Borough Council. Thank you so much, William.
Thank you, and thank you very much.
So that was William from Maidstone Borough Council talking about the start-up of the business terrace. We're going to play some adverts, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to one of the tenants from Maidstone Business Terrace. Here we go.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk. to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday, 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
So I caught up with Tim Sutton. Tim is the CEO of recruitment company CPR Recruitment. They're a specialist construction recruitment company, and they're based at the Terrace in Maidstone. Let's hear what Tim had to say. I've just met Tim Sutton. Tim is from CPR Recruitment. Good afternoon, Tim.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Thanks for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Pleasure to talk to you. Tell us a little bit about Tim and about CPR Recruitment.
So CPR Recruitment as a business, we're a construction recruitment specialist. We started, we're in our fifth year in January, so we've been going about 4 years. We've got an office in Maidstone, which we head up sort of all the central functions from, and then we've got another office in Reading and another office that we've literally just opened in Bristol. So yeah, it's just construction specialist recruiter.
Fantastic. Is it your business or you're a manager?
So me and a partner started it. We both used to work for Randstad, which is the largest recruitment agency in the world, and yeah, left there, set up CPR on our own, and we've been going ever since.
Fantastic. I mean, I happen to know construction is a difficult industry to recruit in at the moment. Yeah,
yeah, big time. Yeah, massive labour shortage, obviously with Brexit, loads of people moved back to Europe, and that didn't help. And then obviously COVID and things, a lot of people, a lot of lower skilled workers that used to work in construction doing labour and that sort of thing, now work in hospitals and care homes and that sort of stuff. So it is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's important, isn't it? It's one of those industries that we really do need, and there's a lot of construction work going on, especially in the southeast of England. Yeah. And sourcing people is hard, which is where you guys come in, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. That's literally what we do day in, day out. So it's the majority of what we do is trades and labour. So the volume of what guys need is just insane in this area. Like, yeah, there's so much development, so many new jobs starting in the next few months, and it's just going to go crazy, I think. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, construction is one of those industries that the government kind of pick on a lot as well, isn't it? You know, we got stuff like reverse VAT and all that in the construction industry.
Yeah, there's been a lot of legislative changes. Like R35, because of our guys are freelance, that's had a massive impact on what we were doing. Yeah, the DRC has affected not so much us, but our clients' cash flow. Yeah. Where we've dealt with subcontractors and things that aren't the end client, that's had an impact. But yeah, no, we get through it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do the recent changes in IR35 help you at all?
No, they definitely don't help you. No. They're not an enormous... They're not as big an impact as they have been in other recruitment sectors, yeah, because we have CIS. So, you know, we can still pay our site managers and things that used to want to go through their own limited company can now just get CIS payments, so it's not the end of the world.
No, absolutely. My background's in technology, and IR35 just decimated technology.
IT is absolutely ruined from it, yeah.
Absolutely. So your business has been going 5 years, yeah. And you've got three offices, did you say? Yeah, fantastic. So what brought you to the Business Terrace here in Maidstone?
We were initially based at Maidstone Studios, just down the road, and that was literally just like a two-man box room, and we made the decision to move to the Business Terrace, being honest, because it was just in the middle of town. I didn't know anything about the Business Terrace. We just wanted more space, and we were looking to hire people, and it's easy to hire people if you're centrally located, because transport and all that sort of thing. And then since moving in, you realise that, like, there's offices and then there's offices, if that makes sense. And this is, yeah, it's just a, it's, yeah, I think it's brilliant. Like, it's, we've had so much support from everyone, like the collaboration, the difference, the biggest thing, I've spoken to Rachel, I've spoken to Alex about this as well, like the difference between the studios and other offices, you know, Regis and all that sort of thing that I've looked at, is that people actually talk to each other here. Like, rather than acting like there's 10 different companies, it's like there's 10 different offshoots of a company, and, you know, people are happy to help you out and that sort of thing.
So it's a community. There's a community spirit.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Like, they used to do it. They don't seem to do it anymore, but hopefully they'll bring it back. They used to do, like, a Christmas party for everyone and all of that sort of stuff. Like, it is proper community.
Yeah, absolutely. And that makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, massive difference. 100%. Yeah. Particularly when you're starting out. It's right when you're a bit bigger and you actually know sort of what you're talking about. But when you're actually... Yeah. We were in our first 6 months when we came in here, and it was... Yeah, right, like, there was so much support and input of stupid things, like, what do we do about business rates, and, like, all of the stuff that you just have no clue if you've never had sort of your own company before. There's, yeah, it's really helped us.
That's a really good point, actually, Tim. You know, a lot of people, when they start businesses, they, as you say, they don't know about all the, you know, they know their own industry, but they don't know all the rubbish that goes around running a business. So being based somewhere like here, you've got on tap people that can sort that out for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally the best thing about it.
Cool. Okay, so CPR recruitment, what's your plans? Where are you growing? What are you doing?
So obviously we've just opened Bristol now, and we've got, because of what we do, being in construction, it is fairly regional, like you've got to be within reach of sites. So we're just looking to grow our turnover, grow our sort of market share over the next 3 to 5 years. As I say, get Bristol off and running in the next 12 months. I'm looking at Birmingham at the moment, and once Birmingham's up and running, the plan is to move into either Manchester, Liverpool, or Leeds. So yeah, we want to get to 5 offices within the next sort of 3 or 4 years and grow it from there.
Fantastic. So you've got growth ambitions, but you're doing the right thing. You're taking it slowly, looking at each area, assessing it, and then moving in.
Yeah, we sort of follow... Our growth follows... It sounds really stupid, but like our growth follows our turnover. Like, where we project we're going to be, we'll staff ourselves up for that. So, like, this year we've... Oh, no, last financial year we did, like, 15.5 million turnover. This year we're going to do, like, 26 million. And, like, from knowing what we needed staff-wise, because it's recruitment, it's just all about headcount, like, to do those figures, we know what we need to do 35, and yeah, we're sort of maxed out in Maidstone and Reading at the minute, so we've got to start looking elsewhere, which is of kind course. Of what we're doing. Yeah, and it's... yeah, that's my...
Cool. No, you're absolutely right, and it sounds like you're on a really good growth trajectory. So what are your ambitions eventually? Because you're quite a young man, I think, Tim.
Yeah, I think the ambitions are, I don't know yet. Like, there's the option of, I want to grow it to a point where, you know, me and my partner both said we want to get to like 100 million turnover. You're in construction recruitment in the UK, you're probably top 5 if you're turning over that sort of money. So right, you've got a decent presence and a big market share, and then you either look to sell it and move on and do something else, or I like the idea of sort of giving the senior guys that have been here since the start like a little slice of the pie and, you know, bringing them into the fold and growing it from there.
Yeah, I like it. It sounds really good. Okay. We discussed briefly the challenges that you face in construction. I do a free program in schools talking to young people about the world of work, because I own a recruitment portal. So I talk about the world of work, and one of the things we talk about is the construction industry. What do you think needs to happen to encourage more people into the industry?
I think it's a difficult one. I mean, the problem is that I think there's a stigma attached to construction. There's nothing actually, in my opinion, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with construction. I think there's a lot of training, like, opportunities for people, the money that you can earn is excellent, but there is just such a bit like women in construction and all that sort of thing. But I don't think it is. I think there's just a societal stigma attached to going and getting a job on a building site, and people don't realise that 5-6 years down the line you could be contracts manager of some massive house builder on 80-90 grand a year, and you've got all this responsibility and you've got all this package and training behind you. It's crazy.
You're absolutely right, and it's one of the things I struggle with when I'm talking to young people about this, is people tend to look at jobs as a fixed thing. You know, like, I'm going to be a bricklayer, or I'm going to be a painter and decorator, I'm going to be a plumber, but they don't look at it as a career journey that says, you know, I start out doing that, but where I end up could be anywhere. And as you say, there's a million different jobs in construction. A lot of them don't even involve being on the site.
No, and senior, you know, like CEOs, CFOs of construction companies, some of them started as labourers. Like, my wife works for Chartway, which is a major house builder around here. They've just had a new CEO start. He's not very old, and he was a chippy. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
people just don't see it, but there we go.
Yeah. Absolutely. So there's a huge demand in construction at the moment. We're building lots of stuff. Do you, as an agency, specialise in one particular area, or you just do anything construction, not doing just house building or just big commercial construction?
No, we supply any sector of construction. The only thing that we don't touch at the minute is rail. We're going through our RICS at the minute to get the accreditations for that. And 99% of what we do is trades and labour. So, yeah, no, we're full market.
Cool. Tim, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much. If people want to find out about your business, have you got a website that they can look at?
Yeah, it's www.cprrecruit.com.
Fantastic. Tim, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Pleasure to talk to you, and we wish you continued success with your next one's opening in Bristol, is that right? Yeah, so look out for him in Bristol.
Cool. Thanks, mate. Cheers.
So that was Tim Sutton of CPR Recruitment, based at the Business Terrace in Maidstone. Over the coming weeks, we're going to be interviewing a number of other businesses that are all based in the Terrace, talking about their stuff. And there's some really more innovative and growth businesses, just like CPR, that we're going to be talking to. We've got loads of tweets still coming in. We've got emails to read. Jules, you need to do some work. What are you doing?
Yeah, well,
Oh, hold on, I'll turn your mic on.
I've been tweeting about that old trick, turning my mic off.
Yeah.
I've been tweeting you about Tiger Nuts because Justin Dean, who's listening in avidly, reminded me that you can buy them at Buy Whole Foods online with Arthur, who used to be at Canterbury Whole Foods. Do you remember Arthur, Canterbury Whole Foods? Might have been before your time.
I remember Roger.
Roger, yeah, he lives in Whitstable.
Roger owned Canterbury Whole Foods.
Yeah, he's left now, I think.
I see. Because
the other guy with the darkish hair, who's sort of slightly shyer.
All right, well, you do know that where Canterbury Whole Foods was is now Fruitworks.
Yeah, of course I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I used to go in and say, got any lentils? And you go, no, we've only got still, office space.
There's still some lentils in the corner when we haven't swept up properly.
Yeah. And a little whiff of sort of, you know, tea tree oil or something.
Yeah, yeah, no tiger nuts, though. So. I've had a look everywhere.
I bet they have.
I've had a look down the back of the sofa. There's no tiger nuts there.
Not the odd one.
Yeah.
Booze and booze, you see. See what I did there while we're talking about Fruitworks?
Yeah, yeah.
So Fruitworks are based in Canterbury in, is it Stour Street? Or what's the little bit that it's off Stour Street?
Drury Lane or Stour Street, yeah.
Yeah, it's off Stour Street. Because I trundle down there. That's where my acupuncture Chinese herbal man is.
Is it?
So I trundle by. And they've always got nice cakes in the window. Yeah. And there's always someone serving out a lovely coffee.
Yeah.
So booze and booze. It's spelt, obviously, Yaboo and then booze with a Z, as in drinks. Fruitworks and Fond Coffee are having a Halloween bash. Booze and booze. You can be you can be over 18, they say, for this, and fancy dress.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely. So you going as a witch?
No.
What are you going as?
A wizard.
Are you?
Yeah.
There's games, there's karaoke and music and some themed drinks. Oh, I bet there's going to be green ones. And
Creme de menthe, you reckon?
Yeah, yeah, and smoky things.
Yeah, yeah.
And orange pumpkin-y ones. 28th of October, 7 p.m. till 11 p.m, so quite late for Canterbury. Free tickets. Oh, it's free to
go. It is free.
Oh, yep. Wow. So you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, click on the events there, and you'll find out how to...
It's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar is where you can find
it. Where you need to go. And it's, again, it's 7 to 11 p.m. in Canterbury on the 28th of October. Yeah, I think I might go. I might take my mum.
Booze and booze.
Yeah, and I might take my new husband.
Yep. You got to go dressed as a zombie or Frankenstein or something like that. Anyway, it's free to go.
What a good idea.
Tracy Ferguson has been on. Good to see Roland's back on the Business Bunker Show. A fantastic guest and a brilliant business too. Absolutely. William's business also sounds very interesting. Meeting my friend of 40 years for lunch today. We met when I was 18. I look forward to catching up with both interviews later on this week. Have a fabulous show. Well, thank you, Tracy. I hope you have a lovely lunch with your friend.
That sounds really, really good.
A lot of people remember when Roland was on last time because he told some really interesting stories. I think it was about his granddad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, it was, wasn't it? About him. Yeah.
He was a bit of a character, your granddad, wasn't he? Yeah.
What was his name?
George Stanley.
Yeah. Oh, that was George right. Stanley. Yeah.
Even now, sort of around Medway, I pop into people, I bump into people, and they still mention my granddad, even though he's been passed away over 25 years ago.
Real
now.
Character.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So was he the founder of the hotel? I've forgotten.
He was, yes.
It was 5 years ago.
Yeah, he was, yeah. So it was St. George Hotel, and he was called George. And so he fancied himself as a bit of a saint, probably.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so that's he founded the hotel back in 1966.
How many beds?
It's 45 bedrooms.
That's big.
Yes. Yeah, yeah 45 yeah, yeah. bedrooms plus ballrooms and various different areas. And
do you use the ballroom?
Yes, it's still in use at the moment, yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Do you have to polish the floor and all that?
We used to. Do you know, it used to be one of my jobs, polishing the floor in the ballroom.
Do you have, like, I've always wanted to have one of those big things that go round
floor
and round.
Polisher.
Those puffers.
Yeah.
I'd love one of those. What do you call them?
Those little floor buffers. Yeah. They're good fun, especially
I'd
when you
love
start
to do
using
that.
Them.
Yeah, skid about.
Well, we're going to talk to Roland in the second half of the show, and we're going to cover all of that, so we'll do that.
Good.
Justin Dean, you've been talking to Zon. He says, great Business Bunker show, Paul and Jules, from Creative Motion, bringing you brand. Businesses and technology to life, and he's reposted the video he made for us as a radio show, which is always worth a watch. So give him a follow on Twitter. Justin W. Dean is his Twitter handle. You've already read out the Tenterson Chamber one, haven't you, with the list of
but I've gone wild members. About this one that I've got. This is I feel like rushing out now and buying this. A popular garden centre in Thanet has been put on the market. The secret garden centre on the Quex Park estate. We're just talking about Quex Park on the Scoff and Quaff show.
We were.
Spiria show that's on 11 to 12. It's in Birchington. It's been in the same hands for 20 years, but its current owners have decided to retire. It's now being marketed by property advisors Christie for £300,000. It's a 2-acre site. It sits within a Victoria walled garden with the estate of the tourist attraction. What does that mean with the estate of the tourist attraction? I don't understand that. Explain.
Well, it's in a Quex Park.
Oh, so it means within the estate, I guess. Yeah. It includes a shop building, a number of glass houses, and comes with remaining stock. I really want that. I want it now.
Back at a sofa, see if you've got some loose change. You only need 300,000.
Yeah. Well, that's my balcony on my house in Whitstable, practically. Which is a ridiculous price, isn't it? The price of building materials has gone bonkers.
I'll buy a garden centre instead.
I should.
That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Helen from View IT Training, she's going, I'm really enjoying the show so far today. And I'm looking forward to listening to Roland. So that's cool.
Helen from where?
View IT Training.
Ooh, that's V-U-E, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Canny spelling. Yeah. The UK's largest grower and processor of fruit, Sittingbourne-based Fourays, that's F-O-U-R-A-Y-E-S, has been sold to a multinational food giant in a multi-million pound deal. This is very exciting.
Mm.
The family-run business first started back in 1953 and has been acquired by the UK arm of Belgium-based Puritos, a company with a presence in 100 countries worldwide and a turnover of 2 billion euros. That's 1.75 billion pounds. Puritos, I don't really know how to say it, Puritos, could be Puritos, P-U-R-A-T-O-S, Puritos, UK, are based in Buckingham, and they specialise in providing services and ingredients to customers, it's one for you, Roland, bakery, patisserie, and chocolate industry worldwide. I'm saying that in sort of a Belgian way, chocolat. Fourays boss is Phil Aycock, and he's the third generation owner and current chairman, and he'll remain with the firm in a non-executive role. All staff at Fourays have been assured their jobs are safe and that the business will continue to be run on much the same lines as before. That's really good for Sittingbourne, isn't it?
Mm.
Good news.
Yeah, absolutely.
We like good news on the business.
We do like good news, yeah. I've just got your picture of Tiger Nuts.
Yeah,
they do look a bit like walnuts, don't they?
Well, they're smaller, though.
I can't gauge the size because it's just...
No, they are smaller. And I always think that walnuts are...
How many nuts are inside that shell? Just one.
Is there a shell?
Well, I don't know. You wouldn't eat that, would you? It looks like a shell.
What are you looking at?
The picture you sent me.
That one? Or another one?
No, no, no. This one. The one you sent me. This one.
Hang on, I've sent you...
Yeah, this one.
Oh, they are. No, but they're not shells. I think that is them. I think
that's the actual nut,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you know. I'll eat one later, and if I crack my teeth...
I now know why they're called tiger nuts.
Why, because they're stripy?
No.
Why?
No, I'm not going there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is them. That is them. Look, well, Roland.
So, we've now got 65,000 people talking about tiger nuts. Yeah.
They are quite good, and they are...
Which has nothing to do with the show that we're supposed to be doing, of course, but...
No, but it is interesting, isn't it?
Apparently.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the pictures that you took of me on Scoff and the Quaff with my margarita. I look absolutely ratted.
Well, I'm not surprised. You know why?
It was strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I want to tell you about this. Coming up, it's back. And it's back live, ZC Live 2022. All tickets are free. The free entry, VIP and breakfast can be found and booked through the Eventbrite registration system. You can find the registration button by going to their website. Learn how to accelerate your digital and social media marketing in your business and create more leads by mastering key strategies and tips over a whole day with top speakers, as well as international speaker, business owner and TV commentator Zoe Cairns, alongside some amazing speakers talking about Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, content creation and much, much more. Learn how to build your online presence and influence, get your company known in your area, both nationally and internationally. Learn how to create an audience who become your raving fan base. We got some raving people here. And buy from you over and over again. Learn how to generate leads, inquiries and revenue. Learn the latest updates and trends in the social and digital world. So ZC Live is back. It's taking place on Friday the 28th of October, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And it's at Carnation Road, Strood, which is the Strood Academy. So book your tickets.
And a popular... We've got lots of food-related ones.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Because you've been talking about food incessantly.
Yeah. A popular artisan bakery renowned for its handmade sourdough breads and pastries is to open its third branch in Kent, Grain and Hearth. Oh, it's amazing.
Right.
It's amazing. We've got one in Whitstable. But again, they only open, really annoying, they only open for the Londoners, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It really annoys me. Not Sunday even. Great bread. Grain and Hearth, which already has shops and cafes in Whitstable, Margate, is now expanding into Faversham. Why is that funny?
Well, because you didn't read that. You told us that, and then you read it as well.
Because we've also got Wild Breadhead in Faversham, which is great sourdough. The business has taken on the lease of the former Fleur Bookshop off Preston Street, and this week started to convert and refurbish the 200-year-old building. They do amazing gluten-free chocolate brownies, like really, really beautiful. Unctuous, I think you describe them as, Roland. The rise of the bakery in Kent since 2009 has been steered by director and head baker Adam Pagor. That is a really good bakery. I don't actually eat bread, but occasionally I snaffle a bit from
being
husband.
Do.
Yeah, I try not to.
Yeah.
It makes me very puffy. Okay.
Right. Seven Oaks Chamber welcomes local businesses and individuals to network face-to-face with a thing called networking. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's good.
Offering an opportunity.
Does it mean they're balancing on a net?
Networking.
Like tightrope.
An opportunity to build valuable business relationships while enjoying a lovely walk around Noel Park.
Oh.
Meet at the cafe for refreshments. You'll be greeted with a hot drink of your choice to enjoy while you walk and network. The walk will take around 1 hour with a takeaway lunch provided at the end by sponsors Thackeray Williams Solicitors. Again, this is taking place on, and there's a lot happening on Friday the 28th of October, 10:30 till 12. Again, you can find out all about it and book your place by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
And the big Dover Jobs and Skills Fair, the biggest ever skills and jobs fair that Dover has ever seen, is coming to Dover Cruise Terminal 2 on Tuesday, 18th of October, 10 till 3 p.m. And this exciting event will include a huge variety of recruitment opportunities from various sectors, as well as live interview spaces. Very difficult not to slur when you've had margaritas.
It is, yeah. When you're drunk on air. Yeah,
interview spaces. And employability development workshops to give you the best chance at your dream career. So to book your free ticket, you can go to www.eventbrite.co.uk/e/the-big-dover-jobs-skills-fair-tickets. Alternatively, you can go to www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. See, I've learnt that already.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, see?
That's very
you
good.
You should go there with Jobs in Kent, shouldn't you? Shouldn't you have a little stand there?
Yeah, we normally do our own careers fairs.
I know, but you could muscle in on that as well.
I guess so. The first I've heard of it, though. They never asked us. Anyway, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we're going to talk to the fantastic Mr. Roland Stanley from Dragon Co-working. Here we go.
I can't wait to hear what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.